used to sing. Not only that, but he's a fix-it man. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Job? Turn to the book of Job. Have it say amen. I'm reading from the 19th chapter, and then I'll turn over a little further and read again. Verse 23, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Then we're turning to chapter 23. Verse number 8. "Behold, I go forward, he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the things that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." What a wonderful, wonderful thing that a man in the dilemma of Job can look with faith towards a God that he cannot see or find, and say, with the inspiration of a man's convictions so deep and so settled, that he said, "I would that my words were engraved in a stone and then let it in. Amen. And that they were written down in a book so they can be passed on to others." There's times when we know that we have said something that we do not understand where it come from, but we know it was ours because God gave it to us, and it so fit our situation. There are situations in life. Some of them are just not right. We take those misfortunate times that we know that we just cannot understand, have no answer to, cannot figure out, don't even have an equation that works, and we finally bring them to God and say to God, "You know the way that I take. I know you're trying me, but when you're done, I'll be a better man or a woman for it." Amen. Can anybody out there identify with that this morning, that we go through things that we do not understand and cannot equate and make it figure, come up to a reasonable conclusion, because God is of his own mind and doeth that which he wills, and he is only but one promise that we hang everything on, that all things work together for good to them that love God, that called according to his purpose, and we have to rest our faith on that. You see, sometimes we got to trust him even though we can't figure him out. Sometimes we're asked to trust him where we can't even find him. Sometimes we're asked to trust him even in the midst of the whirlwind, We hear the voice of God and we cannot equate to the whirlwind, which means terrible destruction. But there is in the midst of the terrible destruction the voice of God speaking to man. Amen. So sometimes we cannot equate. Jesus comes walking on the storm. It is danger to those fishermen in the boat, for they felt like they were going to perish. They were bailing water out and rowing and getting nowhere. But Jesus comes walking in the storm, and out of the midst of the storm, he said, don't be afraid, it is I.
Right.
Amen. So there's times when you don't look for him, and he's in the very situation that you can't seem to find him in. Because sometimes he's too far away and coming towards you all the time. Give him a little more time and he'll be closer. You'll think he's a spirit. Give him a little more time and after a while you'll hear his voice. Give him some more time and then you can walk to him on the same problem that's got you in the boat. Amen. With the fear that you're going to perish. You see, Job just simply said, behold, I go forward. He's a searcher, but he is not there. And backward, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, on the right hand, I cannot see him. So he's a searcher.
Right.
He's searching for an answer. He's searching for the cause. He's searching for the power behind it. He wants to understand life. He wants to understand why life has gone sour like it has.
Uh-huh.
And he had every right. In one day's time, he loses his children,
yeah.
his stock, everything.
Right.
He loses it all, and himself, in just a little while, shorter time, is smitten with afflictions that no one can actually understand how afflicted he was, the pain that he endured, or the ridicule that he endured. But yet in all of that, Job was a searcher.
Amen.
He said, though I cannot find him, I'm not going to give up the search. Though I can't understand him, I'm not going to give up the search. Though it seems like he's making it difficult for me, I will not give up the search. Because I know that after a while, he knows the way that I take. He will intersect with me. And it will work out that I am better for what I'm going through. Sometimes we don't understand the school that God puts us in.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But we are in school.
Right.
And every one of us is learning how to trust him. Some of us, the school is rougher than others. Those that are going through the rough school of God, I pray for them every day. Don't let him fail. Don't let him fail at the grace of God. Don't let him get discouraged. Don't let them, Father, loose their grip on grace. Hold them. Keep them. Because every day they know that they are but just a step between them and death. And then there are those of you that are here and that everything is better than what it has been. And you're getting a little more ease in Zion. Because the school has got a little easier on you, you're taking it a little easier. When you don't know what tomorrow holds, and you should be very vigilant and very on the alert and watching, lest the storm break upon you suddenly and you be caught at ease in Zion. It can happen. Can I get an amen? So we're looking this morning at how to trust him. Job gives us the example of trust and just simply says, you've got to believe him when you don't understand him. You've got to believe him when you can't find him. You've got to believe him because he's always been part of your conviction. There is a God somewhere. I know my Redeemer liveth. You see, Job said that without a Bible. He said that without a church. He said that without being born again like we are. He said that without being baptized in the Holy Ghost the way that we are. He said that just with the knowledge of his experience with God. But when it came down that everything was shaken that could be shaken, Job simply said, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Right.
I may not find him today, but I know he exists.
Right. Amen.
And if he didn't exist, I couldn't be a searcher. I couldn't be seeking him. But the Bible said, when you seek me, God speaking with all your heart,
right,
I'll be found of you.
Amen.
So there's times when God lets us go through these places so that it will get our heart motivated, so that we will be, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. There's sometimes that we can't get motivated to try to do better without God provoking us with a trial, or testing us with pain, or making us know that we are temporal and that we are dust and that our frame is dust. And all of a sudden that with all of our intelligence, we find ourselves not smart enough.
Right.
With all of our Bible knowledge, we cannot come up with an answer. So we sit back and we understand that there's times when I cannot trace God. He doesn't leave any sign behind him. He does not want us to follow him. He gives us no indication of his direction that he went. He does not want us to know that he is always present and an ever-present help in the time of trouble. If your faith doesn't believe it, he leaves no sign of his nearness.
Yeah.
Does your soul ever go through the dry, arid desert? Oh, I pastor such wonderful people that they never go through dry places. Sometimes it seems like I go through them for months and have to keep on by faith preaching and searching, longing, weeping, that he'll come out of this and there will be an oasis somewhere where I can meet him. But there is in all of us that tendency that we want God to mark out. But he doesn't say he will mark our steps. He says he will order our steps. That means God may not be there beside you when he's telling you the direction you're going is right, or that he tells you the direction you're going is wrong. You see, Jesus left the blind man after he had made spittle and put on his eyes, and he sent him to the pool of Siloam to wash. He left him alone. He did not send somebody with him to guide him to the pool. He just simply told him, go wash. So he was left alone. The difficulty was not only now a handicap, but it was also to be made fun of. When children would see him with that mess on his face, they would laugh and say, what happened to you? An adult would stop him and only to quiz him, said, where have you been and what have you been into? He could not convince them that the master of the universe had just spit on the ground and made spittle and put on his eyes, and that he was going to go wash and come back seeing. It didn't make sense. How can you cure a man's sight with mud?
Right.
Instead, if you get mud in your eyes, if you get grit in your eyes, it's bad for you. And here Jesus is putting the very element that he made man from right back where he needed it most. And now this man must go wash it. And he washed and he came back seeing. How can you trace God in that? How can you trust God? It's something that only a blind man could do, because to him he had nothing to lose and everything to gain. What has he to lose but a few hours to traverse from where he was to the pool? What has he to lose but everything to gain if that potion that he felt Jesus put on his face really works? He knows it's there. He can feel it. By the time he got there, it was probably dry and stiff. He could feel it. When he wrinkled his nose, he could feel the mud on his face drying as he went to the pool. But the amazing thing was that his faith got him there. His faith made him bend down over it. His faith made him wash. And then all of a sudden his faith become a reality in that God was right, even though he could not understand it. That God was right, even though it didn't look like it would work. That God was right. If a man does believe, all things become possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You see, sometimes we want to figure it out in advance, but it don't always work that way.
Right.
Sometimes you can't understand why you and not somebody else. Why did it happen to you? Why couldn't it happen to somebody else? You live better than they do.
Oh, brother,
you know their life. Their life just doesn't correspond to, and they, nothing's wrong with them, and they're just robust health, and here you are doing the best you can and can't get healed.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, you cannot always understand God. And you cannot be like Job. And Job says in his attempt, "Behold, I go forward." But he is not there. He said, "I go forward. I go beyond this. See if tomorrow will change it. And then see if 2 days will change it. See if 3 days into this will change it. I go forward." And he is not there. Not in my future. Then he says, backward. But I cannot perceive him. He said, I trace my steps back and I cannot find a reason why this should happen to me. I have not sinned. My integrity is right. I've always honored God. I've taken care of the widows. I've taken care of the orphans. I've done good works. Why is this happening to me? I go back into my past, and my past doesn't reveal that there's anything that God should be punishing me for. So I go forward and I can't find, and I go backward and can't find. And then he said, I start looking into his works. I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work. I look for him in the works. He's working. I know he's doing it. I know God is still here. I know God is still doing things. But why isn't he doing it for me? It gets awful bad sometimes when a person cannot understand God. But you know, God always understands you.
Amen.
He knows the way that I take. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach. He hides himself on the right hand. That's where comfort comes from. That's where Job's fellowship came from. He said, but I cannot see him. All of a sudden, the years that he had spent with God were now blotted out and blanketed out. A darkness came, and he said, he hides himself. I cannot behold him. He hides himself. And I cannot see him. He said, he ought to be praying here. This is our fellowship. I'm still praying. Why isn't he in my prayers like he was? I'm still walking with him. Why do I not feel his presence? Where is the joy? He hideth himself. Job said, he's not gone. I know he's not gone. I know he lives. I cannot see him, but I know he's here.
Amen.
That's a struggle that sometimes faith goes through. And I wish somebody would help me this morning.
Amen.
As I come to a conclusion and take my seat, I want you to understand that you may be having problems and you may not understand them, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have an answer.
Right.
You see, when Peter went walking on the water, he done great till he took his eyes off of the one that he was looking for.
Right.
You see, he knew Jesus was the answer, so he wanted to go to him because he knew the storm would soon be over.
Right.
Jesus is a storm calmer.
Amen.
Didn't he do it with
Amen.
Peter in the boat? When he woke him up and tell us now not that we perish, didn't Jesus just get up and rebuke the wind and make it lay down?
Right.
Peter knew that to get to him, the storm would be over.
Right.
It was safer out of the boat with him than it was in the boat with a storm going on.
Right.
So he just merely waits, but he's on his way to Jesus. And it wasn't a mile away or a half mile away. You can't make people understand you in a storm. He had to be close. He was conversing with them over the wind, over the waves, over the storm. He was conversing with them. Come. That doesn't mean that he's far off. That meant that he was near, but he's in the storm. And he's on the stormy water. Peter said, the storm don't matter if I can get to you. So he gets out of the ship and he goes to Jesus. But the problem of going and coming was you've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You see, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he handled the storm and the water. The moment he got distracted, he lost his vision. And where there is no vision, people perish.
Amen.
Keep your faith in the storm like Job did. I know my Redeemer liveth. Write that down. Put that in a book. I want everybody to know that. No matter what I'm going through, here's a man sitting on an ash heap, scraping himself with parched shirt, bleeding, and pus running out of his sores. And yet here he stands up gallant in his faith and said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Write it down in a book. In fact, grave it in a stone. Let it in. I want a generation, the next generation, and the next generation to understand. I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Sometimes that's all we can do to keep our faith is that I know I can trust God. 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 Why? Because he gave me his word that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, the called according to his purpose. I know I can trust God. His word will not fail. Paul in the midst of a storm, and it's a horrible storm. If you've ever read that in the book of Acts, Rock of Dawn was terrible that it took all the hope from them. Now when you're in a hopeless situation, is God faithful in a hopeless situation? Paul said all hope was gone. In the middle of a hopeless situation, God sends an angel to a man in a ship, and he just simply says, you must go to Rome, and I'm going to give you all the souls that are on this boat. You're all going to live. Paul threw away hopelessness, and he got hope so bold and so brave that when the storm was still raging, Paul stood up and said, I believe God.
Amen.
Can you, in the midst of the worst storm, the worst rock of dawn that's ever hit your ship, can you stand and say, I believe God that it will be just as it was told? Amen. Can you believe this Bible? Can you see that it's already written down that God cannot fail you? Can you put your faith in this reliable book? Can you understand that God cannot lie and his word is true? By those stripes ye were healed. It was already done. God has already said amen to it. It's merely getting the fear out of the way so the fact that God has never been defeated, God has never met a disease he could not cure, God has never heard a prayer that he could not answer, God has never saw a mountain he could not remove, God has never known a problem he could not solve, and God is wanting you to believe him. It is not what you do, it's that you believe God. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about prayer, he said, have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We used to live in a perilous time. Our faith is being tried to the very limits. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? That's a question our Lord asks of us. When he comes, shall he find faith? Slowly, slowly, the devil has eroded faith from the church, eroded and eroded, until we have seen our very foundation shaking. But the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, God knows those that are his.
Right.
And he'll never forsake you. God knows those that are his, and he will never leave you.
Right.
God knows those that are his, and he's promised to take care of you, though you may not be able to understand how he does it, why he does it, or when he will do it. He will not forsake you, neither will he ever fail you.
Amen.
Faith can never be defeated, for this is our victory over the world, even our, somebody help me preach, even our,
faith.
Even our, Come on, church, you got to say the word.
Faith.
Even our.
Faith.
Our.
Faith.
Right, our faith. That's why the devil wants to try to isolate you. That's why he wants to try to tell you your circumstances are really, really different than everybody else's. He's trying to get you to fall off from our faith. Because if we pray as a unit, it doesn't say 200 must pray, and it doesn't say 1,000 must pray. It only says if two or three, if two or three will touch in agreement upon any one thing, it shall be done. Two or three. I tell you, do you have a wife? Then, my friend, you should love her. And you should get her confidence, because with the two of you praying, nothing is impossible. Do you have a husband? Then you should get his convictions and you should get his confidence, because if two of you can do so in agreement, then that agreement only means that we do not have discord. Let me give you the example. I'm not much of an illustrated preacher. Sister, would you give me some discord on that piano? And then show me some harmony. I can show you discord. Discord. That's discord? See, I really don't know discord. I would have went over and bam. That was there. That's more like my discord right there. Now, some harmony. What a world of difference. A marriage that is not in unison can never come up with that harmony chord that brings all things to possible.
Amen.
But you do not need anyone else but your companion to win this battle. You can pull your children back in if you will but agree. You can bring them out of the deepest darkness and the deepest pit if you will but believe. It didn't say it'll happen just then. It didn't say a week. It didn't say a month. It didn't say how long. But what is that in accordance with eternity?
Right.
I would rather have them saved for eternity and know that they are eternally saved and have to go through the troubles and trials of this life without the assurance that I can win, or you're not helping me.
Hello,
see, by thee, Lord Jesus, guide my path, is safe and sure. All cares to thee confide, I to the end endure. Where I cannot see thee, where I cannot trace, yet thou wilt guide me with unerring love and grace. There is always that promise. We may not understand him, but we can trust him.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You and I are looking to one of the greatest times of our life. By faith, I believe the rapture is coming. By faith, I have been praying that God would help my family to be ready for the rapture. Not only me and my wife, but my son and his wife, my daughter and her two children. I am praying that God will get them ready. I don't want to lose them. My faith is the only thing that I can have that will guarantee me a victory in this area. I cannot save them. God can. I cannot sanctify them. God can. I cannot baptize them in the Holy Ghost. God can. I cannot put a hunger in their heart. God can. I cannot put joy in their soul. God can. I cannot make their song in the night become a reality, but God can. I can't put back together broken homes. God can. I cannot make one another love one another, but God can. And my faith is in God. I know my Redeemer liveth.
Right.
Write it down.
Yes, amen.
And I know eventually he will reveal himself to me. And when he did to Job, in closing, you find a God that come out of the whirlwind to be very personal to him again. He came out of the whirlwind to give him back double what he had lost. children again, riches again, prestige again, everything that the storm had taken out, God gives back. Amen. Somebody said, that's the kind of God I want to know as my Redeemer.
Amen. That's right.
That's the kind of God I want to know that is my God. Amen. And He is. Not only Jesus said when He was sending to Mary, He said, Mary, don't touch me. I'm going to ascend to my God and your God and to my Father and your Father. It can't be like it used to be, Mary. You can't hold me here. You can't hold me here. It's never going to be like it was. It's going to go on. Life goes on. There may be another storm, but it'll never be like this one. Now don't touch me, Mary. Don't cling to me, because I'm going to ascend to my Father. And it's expedient, He said to His disciples, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter could not come. She wanted Jesus to stay there physically. He said, I can't. I must go away that you can have a Comforter. And thank God that it reached the 3201 Dryden Road, and that we have God's presence here in the form of the Comforter. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand. Sister Sutherland.